right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining in. I'm looking forward to another great conversation with one of my favorite people. And I'm going to keep you in suspense who that is. Actually, there are a lot of people I have that I feel are favorite people, kindred souls. And a lot of you know that my book finally came out on February 1st, The Soul of Uncertainty, and A Fable for Our Times. And part of that book, there's a reader's guide at the end of the book, and it was a way to really put it all together to kind of give you an opportunity to kind of see how some of the lessons that Buddy learns and how it might apply to your life. And as you know, the description we have on the back cover is a young man meets a modern-day mystic and an unexpected road trip of the soul begins. So what I was thinking about was I invited my good friend, my new best friend, Filippo Voluntaggio, and we've done a couple of shows together and realized we think a lot in the same way, and I thought that if we have a conversation that perhaps you relate to what we're saying, because some of the subjects in the Reader's Guide are really universal subjects. I think a lot of us have these same thoughts, these same feelings, and so let me say hi, welcome to Filippo. Hello there.
Hi, Mark.
How did I do? Did I do good?
Good to be here on again with you.
Did I overdo it?
You did great. You kept me in suspense. Is it me? I hope it's me.
Yeah, I hope so too. Or I hope it's everybody. I hope it's not just you.
Yes, more and more.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting, as you know, Buddy, the main character, meets this modern-day mystic who becomes a mentor to him. And so in the Reader's Guide, I really get into this whole discussion about mentors. Have you had a mentor yourself? And I just thought that might be a good time to really, for you and I, to have a conversation, because I know we do similar type of work where we both have radio shows, we're both life coaches, and we've been on this path for a long time. And I just thought it would be kind of good to just kind of go back and forth with this concept of mentors in terms of who were some of the mentors of your life and what were the circumstances. And I think I said off air that sometimes we have mentors and we don't think of them at the time as mentors, but they're people that have, when we look back, have been incredible guides for us and always seem to know how to say the right thing at the right time, just when we needed a boost. And sometimes they wouldn't say a lot. I remember I have one person who was an acupuncturist, and he was kind of a shaman, and sometimes he'd look at me and he'd just start laughing. And that would make me laugh. His name was Murray Korngold. And actually, I was referred to his son. And when I called for a treatment, this is years ago, his son wasn't available. And he said, my father is, my father Murray. And I wanted to see the son because he was who I was referred to. But he wasn't going to be back for 6 weeks. And I went, sure. Okay, I'll see your dad. And so I made an appointment with Murray. And then this relationship lasted over maybe 10 years. And to where I would see him, you know, once every 3 months, once a year. And he always was one of those people that just knew what to say. So what's your thoughts about mentors and who they are in your life, and have you made room for them? And what's your take on this?
Well, we can take this in so many directions. Of course, the quote-unquote mentor that introduced you and I was a little dog. And, of course, I've written a whole book on The Little Dog That Could, in which I describe the dog as a mentor and come to find out that the dog was teaching me things and I just wasn't seeing it. And so it was another mentor, Dorothy Donahue, who was telling me, listen to what the dog is saying. The dog is in your life for a reason. And so that is how you and I met, because you interviewed me regarding my mentor, The Little Dog That Could, and the book. But in reality, yes, there have been many, and there continue to be many mentors in my life, and I never looked at people that way. I always wanted mentorship ever since I was a child, and though parents, at least my parents, inadvertently mentored me, of course, they parented me, there could have been other adults who could have, and I looked to give me some kind of advice, and even counselors at school who I went to for advice who really didn't have much advice to give. And I don't know why that is. I think our culture is not set up that way, or hasn't been. And so this is why I really love the question, because that you bring up in your book and now here on the interview, because I believe we need more of it. Not everybody's going to be good at it, and not everybody is going to give good advice, but I believe it's not so much advice, but sharing from a different perspective. And I think more people can be taught how to share, can be taught how to mentor. I'll give you a quick example. We did the recalibration weekend this weekend, and in the workshop, which is a course that I created and I teach, within the workshop, there were a couple people who work with veterans. And So they were asking me specific questions because they wanted to use this work on veterans, and we're talking about how do we put a program together for veterans. In any event, one of the questions, the woman said, you know, somebody like you seems to understand, like if we're talking about pregnancy, you don't have to be pregnant to understand that there are things going on in a woman's body and all that stuff. She says, where most men would just say, oh, sure, you could clean the house, or you could, you know, work and blah, blah, blah. And even if you're pregnant, don't worry about it or whatever. She says, I feel you would understand. And so she says, but so you don't have to be a veteran to understand that they have particular issues. And I said, well, the thing to me about mentoring or about helping people, it's not to give them the answer, because we don't know what's going on in their head. The most perfect answer could seem like a shot, you know, a shot in the back to somebody because of whatever's going on in their head. Taking a child, for example, the studies have been done out of abusive families. To some children, that's a saving grace. To other children, they don't understand, because that's all they know, and they think the abuse is the fact that they were taken out of that of that family, and so they're lost in other ways. So it's not about necessarily giving advice. It's about showing the breadth of possibilities and allowing them to see where they resonate and allowing them to talk through the breadth of their experience at the moment, et cetera, et cetera. So teaching people how to be mentors and having more of them, I think, could be very helpful to our society.
Mm-hmm. In the book, the mystic, the modern-day mystic Mervyn, says to Buddy, he says, you know, everybody in one chapter, there's a section called Everybody is Your Teacher. And he kind of implies that every lesson we have, every experience is our teacher, and it guides us. And what are you thinking about that? What's your thoughts about that?
I think about that a lot. I use that as an example I love it. You talked about Murray the acupuncturist. I had Irv the voice coach. So I've sung opera for years, and I was
Irv.
I'm not going to say her name, but
maybe
I
they,
auditioned
maybe,
and what's that?
I was going to say maybe Irv and Mervyn knew each other, huh, or know each other.
Yeah, perhaps. So I auditioned for one of the quote-unquote greatest opera coaches who lived in one of the most exclusive areas of our country and who worked for one of the most exclusive schools. And so she picked me as one of three students that year that she was going to coach with. And she was very expensive, and everybody loved her and all that. She had been very famous at the Metropolitan Opera and all of that. So I auditioned for her. She picked me amongst however many hundred people or so auditioned.
Wow.
And then about 6 months in, she told me that I should learn a new instrument, that I'm not teachable.
Wow.
And I walked away from that situation thinking, wait a minute, what's the problem? She picked me, and now I'm not teachable. I don't understand. I was working very hard doing what she told me. And
right.
And I said to her before I walked away, I said, but you said I had a voice. She said, well, you have a voice, but you don't know how to use it. And I said, well, how do you use it? She says, you just open up your mouth and sing, for God's sakes. And
mm-hmm.
I said, well, how did you learn? And she said, I'm telling you, I just opened up my mouth and sung, and look at me, I ended up at the Met and this and that. And I thought, oh, she doesn't know how to teach singing because
uh-huh.
she opened up her mouth and sang. And so
uh-huh.
I found a teacher, Irv, who taught me how to sing well enough where I was singing and being paid and singing small leading roles in small opera companies, et cetera, et cetera. At least, but I was doing it. And I asked Irv one day, I said, how is it that you were able to teach me how to sing? And he said, because I made all the same mistakes you did.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to learn how to overcome them. And once I
uh-huh.
learned, I found my joy in teaching others more than I found singing.
Wow. So is that,
so,
is that one of the things you do now, is you teach people how to sing?
I do not. Maybe sing with their lives, yes, because I, too,
uh-huh.
have made a lot of my mistakes in my life and career and in relationship and all of that. And I look at that, and I do look and say, somebody could have told me this a long time ago. Somebody could have shared this with me when I was a child. And
really,
I might have listened, I might have not, but it might have helped in the process. But the thing about Irv, I have to say, so he was an 85-year-old at the time. He was like 80, between 80 and 85-year-old veteran himself, actually. And he had done so many different things. And so he would share with me about this and about that. And invariably, every voice lesson I had, I would leave with a life lesson that I would share with other people, to the point where one of my brothers said to me, are you learning singing from this guy or not?
Yeah, wow.
Because I was more excited about the life lessons.
Yeah, wow. Isn't that great when you, it's almost like the voice lesson is the excuse to get together.
Mm-hmm.
That's your common
mm-hmm.
ground that brings you together. And out of that is
And
cool.
I did learn voice, though.
Yeah. Well, you sound that way. You sound that way.
I got a double whammy.
You know, the other thing that comes up in the book is that Buddy meets character. Buddy's also a musician, and he plays at this cafe in Big Sur, and he meets this fellow who's a blues player. Everybody just calls him Blues, and there are many stories about blues and a background. One of them that he was in prison, and it's kind of a mysterious character. And but he wrote a song, and And he wrote this song, supposedly, while he's in prison. And he writes it, and here's what he says. "It is what it is," Blue sings. "It isn't always fair, and it isn't always right, but it is what it is." So this idea that life isn't always fair or right, but it is what it is. What's your thoughts? I mean, so often people say life isn't fair. I mean, I've said that at times, and when I was younger, and so many people say that today. And you look around, and you know, you see people starving in some areas, and you see people who are totally obnoxious and just giving everything, and there's a thought for a lot of people that life isn't fair. And what do you think about that? What's your thoughts about the fairness of life?
It's such a big topic to me, and it is something that I'm still working with, because in the book, for example, The Little Dog That Could, there were so many lessons in the book and so many ways that I was being but didn't know I was being, and so many opportunities to learn, and I wasn't learning them, and I was continuing to be the way I was and looking at life saying much the same things. Life is not fair, or life is horrible, or what, you know, all of that. So when Dorothy Donahue, for example, said to me, "Look at this present moment, there is this dog, and the dog is here to teach you something," things that she had actually shared with me that I wasn't listening to her. So the fact that some of this could come through in an animal and I could eventually accept it. So all of a sudden, or not so all of a sudden, but after a period of time, as I started to accept the lessons and take the learning and understanding, then life looked different. And it was the same life. So at this moment, there are things that I feel that I need and don't have, and there are things that I wish I had and still don't have. I wish there were things that were not happening in the world, and I wish that there were things that were happening in the world. At the same time, however, I am constantly at this point in my life looking at myself saying, well, where is it that I don't see what is fair right now, or what isn't fair in my favor? And here's one example. What's that? Go on.
I had that same thought, is about the whole thing about, you know, life not being fair. Sometimes it does work in our favor, and
right,
and where we have certain gifts that no one else has, certain unique qualities
exactly.
Some things come easy to us that to other people, they'd love to be able to do the things we do. And everybody has that. Everybody has certain gifts. And some of them you were just born with. Doesn't mean that you didn't have to do a lot of work to cultivate them and master them. But I also, like I say, think some people are born with incredible athletic skill, or they're just
right,
born with incredible looks, or they're born into a family with a lot of money. And so sometimes life not being fair, because a lot of times people are bitter about that, can actually, and that's what I'm making reference to, is that it can work in your favor if you start to look at it from a broader perspective. So that was a thought that certainly that character brought up. I mean, he was in prison, yet he had this incredible soulful ability to reach deep into his being and soul and just sang the most inspiring words, and you felt it. You just felt connected to his words and to his voice and to his being.
Nice.
And where does that come from?
Good question.
So that was, huh? Pardon me?
Good question.
Yeah, where does that
Good
come from?
Good question.
So that was one of
you know, and
in the reader's guide.
It could come from wherever it comes from. One could say God, one can say one's born with it and all that. And at the same time, if we're not in tune to it, And if we don't use it, then it doesn't matter where it came from. It's doing no one any good.
Right. Right.
And so you mentioned athletes and all that. So if one's star ability is in athletics and potentially one can become a star athlete, then potentially there's money there for them and there's praise and all that. If one's star ability is in teaching children, at the moment in the society, that's not valued as much. And
mm-hmm.
so, and there goes back to mentoring, because people who might have a star ability for teaching children might choose to live a lifestyle that's not afforded by that profession at the moment. So maybe our star teachers aren't doing that. They're doing something else, like coaching corporations or something, just so that they could make enough money to live like they feel like they need to live. And it takes us back to mentoring. So maybe those stars aren't teaching our children, and so then we don't have the mentors we need, and we grow up saying,
mm-hmm.
why didn't I know this? I don't know. Maybe there's one of your unfairnesses of life.
mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
at the same time, things are changing. Your show's a good example.
Good. I just wanted, well, thank you for that. And I would just wanted to lead into to remind our listeners, you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. And thanks for tuning in. My guest today is my friend Filippo Voltaggio. It's amazing how we've become such good friends in such short time. And it's interesting how I've been using the word more and more to somebody, my friend. And I remember the first time that I heard somebody say that, I had a problem with that. I kind of, when somebody called me, hey, it's good to see you, my friend. And it took me a long time to get comfortable with it. And now I'm saying that. And it feels from my heart when I say to somebody, you know, it's nice to see you, my friend. It doesn't mean that I have to have known somebody forever or for a long time, but it's just a feeling that they help me get in touch with. And when I'm in touch with that feeling, I want to express that sentiment. And that's
nice.
Kind of what I mean by that. So
nice.
we've covered a lot of ground, and you know, this idea of purpose, this reason for, I think for a lot of people, I just went to the Wisdom 2.0 conference over the weekend, and as I'm third year in a row, I went, and I've been thinking about these topics for many, many years, and in part in the soul of uncertainty, Buddy it has a search for purpose, for meaning, and why is he here? Why is he here on this planet at this time? What's his mission? And if somebody can get in touch with what their purpose is for being here, that just overrides everything else, because no matter what you do, there are going to be a lot of obstacles and barriers in the way. But when you're totally compassionate about what it is you want to do, it's a gift. It's such a great gift. So do you ever think about what you're here to do?
All the time. And at this very moment, for the first time in my life, or actually the past several years, I feel like I am in purpose and on my purpose and doing it. So I think about it all the time, absolutely. And that feeling is along with so many other things, is what helped us create the recalibration. And so we do them now as a weekend intensive. And so what we are helping people do is to find themselves. So finding purpose is great. If we don't know who we are, which is not easy to do for most people to begin with. But if we don't know who we are, we won't know how we can fulfill that purpose, or fulfilling the purpose won't be fulfilling to us. So getting in touch with who we are and who we thought we've been and who we thought we were supposed to be and who we, because so many of us live in illusion. And it's funny because one of the first slides we put up on Saturday morning during the weekend course is, I think most people are positive, not negative. I think most people, I go on to say, are 100% positive. And I show them a slide, and one by one, I say, I think people are 100% positive that if they had been born rich, their life would be better. They're 100% positive if they were in a relationship, their life would be better. Or 100% positive if they were out of a relationship, their life would be better.
Right.
But all of these, they're 100% positive if I had a prettier girlfriend or a younger wife or if I didn't have kids.
I like this. Keep going. Don't stop.
I know you don't leave your beautiful haven, so I might have to come up and do it up there, but I wish you could experience this course because it makes one's world go topsy-turvy to the right side up.
Right.
Because
and
I've
been
thinking,
course,
and so...
Where do you give this course? In San Diego? You give it in San Diego or L.A.?
Well, actually, all over. Lately, we've done it 3 times in San Diego and, I don't know, 8 times recently in Los Angeles. But we'll come. We'll come all over if we can get a group up there. And get – you'd love Mark and you'd love Dorothy. They come up, and we're training co-facilitators, so – when we're not available, other people are available to do it.
Right.
So the recalibration.com is where you can find out more about it. But I'll just to finish that thought, and then people say, affirmations don't work. Well, no, affirmations work 100% of the time. The question is, what are we affirming? So they'll say,
right.
Well, I'm affirming that I'm rich. Well, you're affirming that you're rich for 30 seconds while you're reading that little note you wrote for yourself or you're reading somebody's book. And the rest of your day, you're going around saying, I hate not having money. How come I don't have money? Blah, blah, blah.
Right, yeah.
And so that's the affirmation right there. The other is just a fluke. You know,
exactly.
We don't know what to do with that. This is what you're affirming 99.99%
right.
of the time. So they do work. So... all of that combined, and unfortunately, we only had this half hour together. We can talk more another time, but
I
love this conversation.
Me too. And it's interesting because I just knew that if we just had this conversation, a conversation, and it's this conversation, and it didn't really matter if we necessarily had a lot of it pre-planned. But I knew that it would be engaging and fulfilling. And so thank you for your openness and your suggestion of doing this. I think it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. So what I want to do is to, again, remind our listeners, this is Mark Susnow. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Filippo Voltaggio, the Master of Change, has been my guest. And how do people get a hold of you, Filippo?
Well, thanks for asking. The course we've been talking about, therecalibration.com, and then our show, thelifechangesshow.com. Easiest way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and since we talked about it, thelittledogthatcould.com as well as the book.
Great. So, thanks again. There's one last question I have, and it's got to be short answer. And actually, it's a question I ask everybody since the show is the Inspire Possibility Show. What inspires you right now, Filippo?
Oh, gosh.
Quick answer, conversation.
this kind of conversation. Really, the more we can have this conversation, the more – I get inspired, and the more we help other people be inspired.
Well, I like that. So thanks again, Filippo Voltaggio, for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. Every week I have a conversation with different people I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people who are there to inspire me and people that I can learn from, people who are visionaries, who are courageous in terms of thinking outside the box. So that's my mission for this show, my purpose for this show, is to keep attracting those kind of people and sharing their words with you. So until we meet again next week and have another conversation, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.